Actually, the maybe the easiest way of finding it on Kuf Ches Amud Beis is you see Tosis Nignava. If you look at Tosis Nignava and you go up a little bit, not much, Boy Rava. Okay then? Now what does Boy Rava mean? How would you translate that? He had a suffix. Rava had a suffix. What's the case that Rav had a suffix about? So let's try to get the scenario down. Omad lishava b'sheker. Now, as we discussed many times, when a shomer takes upon himself an achrayus of shmira, then he's obligated not only to return the object, but in event that he cannot return the object that was deposited in his possession, he has to take a shvuah. But in this particular case, although he was about to take the shvuah, and it was going to be a shvuah sheker, because later on we're going to find out that he in fact is holding on to the animal, nevertheless, lo hinichuhu. Now, it's not clear to me why the Bailim, or how they suspected that he was about to take a shvuah sheker. Maybe they already heard the evidence outside of Beis Din, meaning the Edom had not yet come to Beis Din, but the Mafkin knew about these Edom. And, you know, the Bailim is morally in a very sensitive position, a very sensitive situation. They could theoretically demand that the Shomer take the Shvuah, and the Shomer will not exempt himself from payment unless he takes the Shvuah. But on the other hand, is that what they want to do? Of course, they want to get back their cow, or at least its equivalent value. But on the other hand, you know, a person might say to himself, on my cheshbon, you know, because of my interests, so-and-so is going to take a shvuah sheker. So you can appreciate the inhibition on the part of the Bailim in a case where the Bailim know that the Shomer is about, ut-ut, as we say in Hebrew, ut-ut, he's about to take a shvuah sheker. So the Bailim say, you know what? Don't take the shvuah. And in a sense, the Bailim have a right to do that. And I think we've discussed this in the past, that shvuah is something that the Baal Dover has a right to demand. And if he decides to waive that shvuah and drop the ball on that demand, then he can do so. Okay, now what happens? The Shomer did not take the shvuah. Again, in his mind, he was about to take the shvuah. The Mafkin knew he was about to take the shvuah. And not only that, the Mafkin knew it was going to be a shvuah sheker. At this point, two Edom testify that as a result of the Shomer not watching properly, he was derelict in his Shmira, the object was stolen. Now, who is going to go after the Ganav and try to get the cow back? And Rav is in doubt about this. He vacillates back and forth. Mahu, what's the din in this case? In other words, if the Shomer had taken the Shvuah, then at that point, in the relationship between the Ganav and the Shomer, we could say the following, that when the Shomer takes an honest Shvuah and he tells the truth, then the Mafkid, the Baal, has total nemonis, he has total reliability on this Shomer. He believes in the Shomer. And if he believes in the Shomer, then the Shomer remains a Shomer. His status as a Shomer remains. And that's very significant, because if the Shomer accosts the Ganav and demands that he return the object, and the Ganav admits to the Shomer that yes, he did steal, that confession comes under the halacha of Modu B'Knas Potter, and the Ganav is no longer obligated to pay kefil because he had a hodah. But that only assumes that the Shomer still has the status of a Shomer. And in the context, in the framework of his status as a Shomer, he's obligated to return the lost object. And if he has the ability to get it back from the Ganav, that's exactly what he has to do. But by Medvar Amurim, all that applies if the Shomer took a genuine, true oath. But if he pledged himself, then he loses his status as a Shomer with that Shvur Sheker. And the Hodah of the Ganav to the Shomer is no longer a meaningful Hodah, and the Ganav therefore remains Chayev and Kefel. Rava wants to know what happens in the following scenario. On the one hand, the Shomer was ready, eager, and willing to take a Shvuah Sheker. But on the other hand, the Bailam said to him, don't take the Shvuah. Now what's the meaning and the significance of the Bailam refusing to impose the Shvuah on the Shomer? And there are two ways of understanding that. One way is to say, well, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, so says the Mafkid, you're no longer my Shomer. I have no reliance upon you. You're willing to take a Shvuah Sheker, and I know it's a Shvuah Sheker. You know, you are not my Shomer anymore. And that would entail a Hafkas Shame Shomer, which means that the status of the Shomer is completely null and void. If that be the case, then the Hodah of the Ganav to the Shomer is not a valid Hodah, and he still remains Chayev in Kefel. If on the other hand, Befal, Mamish, in other words, in practical terms, as a result of the Mafkid, the Shomer never took the Shvuah, if he didn't take the Shvuah, and he didn't plagiarize himself with a false Shvuah, he still retains his status as a Shomer. So I'm just going to read to you this Me'iri that he has here on the page, and he says the following. Mawadin, this is the suffix of Rav. Ha'im, should we say, Kevet Shalom Nishbal Sheker, since he didn't actually go through with it, he may have the ill intentions, but he never carried through with it, is therefore Nishar Bin Amonis Eitzel Habailim. He hasn't yet actually forfeited his credibility in the eyes of the Bible because he didn't take the Shvuah. And therefore, Hodas Haganov Lashomer Potroso Mikefel, Hodah is meaningful to the Shomer because the Shomer still has, he retains his status as a Shomer. Odilma, should we say, this is Rabbi's Safay, Kevon Sherotzali Shavu L'Sheker, at the very moment that it was clear to the Mafkid that the Shomer had full intention to take a false Shvuah, is Nisbatla Nemanuso, B'Ene HaBailim. He has forfeited his credibility in the eyes of the Bailim. And therefore, he is no longer a Shomer. If he's not a Shomer, he doesn't represent the Bailim to be Tovea the Ganov. And the Hodah to the Shomer is no longer a Hodah. Now, the Gemara ends up with Teku. But all that we explained here is according to the Me'iri. I mentioned in the last shiur, when did we get together last? About a week ago.
Thursday.
That's
a fast day.
Oh yeah, and that there's another opinion in this whole sugya, and that touches on what we did on Thursday, and that's the opinion of the Yad Rama. The Yad Rama says the exact opposite. According to his girsa in the Gemara, when Rava said in the sugya that we did on Thursday, earlier on this Amud, that Nishba HaShomer B'Sheker, that if the Shomer actually perjured himself with a false oath, Hareu nekshav ki baldino shel ganav. It's not a hafkos status of a shomer vis-a-vis the ganav, but on the contrary, he still has the status vis-a-vis the ganav being tovei the ganav. Why? Kevon she nishba b'sheker shelo pashem pikadon. Once he takes that false oath, he becomes chayav b'onsim. According to the Yad Rama, he's considered the Bailim, he steps into the shoes of the Bailim. Havi baldino shal anignav, vehodaasu shal anignav potroso. So again, it's the Yad Rama has the flip side. We said that once the Shomer takes a false oath, that's the Me'iri Shita, he forfeits his status as a Shomer because he no longer has nemanus in the eyes of the Mafkid. And therefore the Hodah of the Ganav to the Shomer is meaningless. The Yad Rama says just the opposite, that if he takes a false oath, now he becomes Chayv in Onsim, he becomes, through this false oath, a Ganav, a Gazlan, on the cow, and Adarabba, now it's in his vested interest to be Tovea from the Ganav that he return the cow. The Ata, okay, now in Rava's Safek, Mistapik Rava, this is the Adrama, Ha'im the Ofen Shalom Nishba, he hasn't taken the Shvur, the Bailin will have decided to drop the case against him and refuse to allow him to take the Shvur. Ha'im, should we say, came into Ratzol Lishava, since he had in mind that he wants to take a Shvur, is Dino Kigazlan V'chayev Yonsen. And therefore he becomes the Baldin of the Ganov, O Dilma Kevan, the Lo Nishba. Before, in actuality, he didn't take the Shvua, Lo Chiva Osa Torah Bionsin, Umemele Eno Baldino Shel HaGanov. So again, let's just summarize. The Meiri on the one side of our chart, and the Yad Rama on the other, are saying just the exact opposite of each other. It's like an X going that way. The Meiri is going to tell us that if he did not take the Shvua, then he still has Nemanus, he still has credibility in the eyes of the Bailim, and therefore he remains the Shomer and he can be Tovea the Ganav. That's because he didn't take a Shvua. The Aramah says when he did take the Shvua, and perhaps here in one side in Rava, we consider as if he did take the Shvua because he intended to take the Shvua. When he did take the Shvua and it was a false Shvua, he becomes Chayav Ve'onsin, and now he becomes the Baldin to be Tovea the Ganav, and the Odas HaGanav is the same. So whereas the Meiri says that in order to give him the status of a Baldin, he has to take a true Shvua. Give me a better word than true. I mean, what's the opposite of a perjury? An honest Shvua, I don't know. Okay, if anybody comes up with a better word. If he was honest in the oath, then according to the Meiri, he remains a Shomer, and he could be Tovei the Ganav, and the Ganav so does, oh duh. The Yad Rama would say just the opposite. If he takes a true, genuine, honest oath, then he's off the hook. His status as a Shomer has terminated. He has no relationship to the Ganav. When does he still have the status of a Baldin to be Tovei the Ganav? When he became a Gazlan by taking a false Shvua. Rava's Safek can be interpreted one way according to the Meiri and a different alternative way according to the Yad Rama. According to the Meiri, Rava's Safek is, shall we assume that the Shomer has forfeited his nemanus, his credibility in the eyes of the Baal HaKau, the Mafkid, because the Baal HaKau knew that he was about to take the Shvua Sheker, it's Ke'ilu Nishba Domi. And therefore the Hodas HaGanov to the Shomer would be meaningless because the Shomer has lost his status as a Shomer, whereas according to the Yad Rama, on the contrary, if we look at his intention and we define it as if he had taken the Shvua, then he is the Baldin and the Odas HaGanav patters him up from a Shvua because it's
patters,
the...
Patters. Isn't patters to Kefir? The Ganav from Kefir?
When we're talking about Hodas HaGanav
to the Shomer,
so then we're talking about Kefir. Right. Under the law of Modu B'Knas,
Patur.
Right. Now keep in mind that the weak point here in the presentation of the Yad Rama is the fact that the Yad Rama assumes that Rava in one side raised the possibility that since he intended to take the Shvua, he's Chayav Ba'onsin. That's a very difficult position even as a Hava Mina to maintain, because what do you mean you're Chayav Ba'onsin? It's the Shvua that makes you Chayav Ba'onsin. You know, let's say for example I was looking at your cow and that's the nicest cow I've seen since the time of Vashti Amalka, you know. And I would love to steal this cow. Do I become a gazlan just because I'm about to steal your cow? There is no such halacha. And therefore, if the Shomer is Chayav Ba'onsin, the Torah is gazlan, that's only when he actually took the Shvua, but until such time as he took the Shvua, with all due respect to the fact that he intends to take the Shvua, he doesn't become Chayav Ba'onsin. That's what I don't follow here about the Yad Rama. That's, I think, the weak link in the Yad Rama. The Gemara says that Rav Kahana had a slightly different version of the words of Rava. Rav Kahana Masni Hochi. Rav Kahana had he had the same identical version of Rava with regard to the case where he took the Shvuah b'sheker. And again, according to the Miri's pshat, if he went ahead and he took the shvuas b'sheker, then the ganav does not become exempt from kefel, because the shomer loses, he forfeits his status as a shomer insofar as he lost his credibility in the eyes of the mafkid. But as far as the suffik, that boy Rava that we learned today, Rav Kahana says nothing, but Rav Tavyumi, Masni, he had a different text in Rava, boy Rava, im nishpa l'sheker mahu, that the suffik of Rava was on the original case where he actually took a shvua sheker. So again, in Rav Kahana's version that we've been learning until now, and we'll say it over like the Meiri would say it, once he took the shvua sheker, then the hodas haganav to the shomer is meaningless. And that was never a suffik. The only question is, what if he intended to take the shvua, but he never took the shvua? According to Rav Tumyomi, the case that was a suffik in Rava was the actual shvua sheker, where the shomer went through with it, and he took a shvua sheker, which was, according to Rav Kahana's version of Rava, was simple and undeniable, that he has lost his status as a shomer, and there's no such thing as hodas haganav l'shomer to pater him from kefel. Within the context of the version of Rav Tavyomi, this was Rava's suffik. In other words, do we say that once he took a shvua sheker, at that point the Bailam no longer want him to be a shomer, and that his status as a shomer is completely paka, terminates, and therefore the Odas Haganav will not pater him up? Or shall we say that even though he took a shvua sheker, later on he's going to regret the fact that he took a shvua sheker. He's going to be willing to pay, and therefore, if he's willing to pay, then the shomer is the baldin of the ganav, and therefore his hodah would pater him up from kefel teku. That's his version of rava and teku. Next gemara, tavu bailim l'shomer v'shilem. The mafkid demanded the return of his object, and the shomer decided that he's going to compensate the bailim rather than take a shvua and be potter. Then hukar aganov. Now again, hukar aganov doesn't mean what I thought it meant. I'm not going to blame you for this, but I thought hukar aganov means they got a hold of the ganov. It doesn't mean that they got a hold of a ganov, but that they identified the ganav. He's still out there. And now the question is, can we get the ganav into Bezdin and be mechayev him to pay kefel? Or alternatively, under what circumstances can the ganav be modeh beknas and exempt himself from kefel? So the case is the following. Tavu bailim. The mafkid himself demanded the return of his cow from the ganav v'hoda. Tavo hashomer shomer v'kofar. So two people, one after the other, came to this ganav, knocking, banging on his door. The first was the mafkid, the second was the shomer. In the case of the mafkid, the ganav humbly confessed his crime. In the case of the shomer, he denied his crime. And then, vehevi edim, in this case, the shomer adduced the testimony of two witnesses to establish that the ganav, in fact, did steal it. And again, the shomer was well aware of the fact that he wanted to get the ganav here, because the ganav denied the stealing, the theft, to him, meaning to the shomer. So the shomer now has vested interest, because since he paid for the... Do you remember we discussed this last week? If
the pocket of the Rava.
Right, but if the... Let's say, according to Rava, if he went ahead and he paid, then what does he gain from that? Right, he gets the kefil. So it makes sense that the shomer is going to bring two edim against the ganav. And the question now becomes, Niftar Aganav Bodas Bailim Olo. Where the Gemara is vacillating back and forth, shall we say that in this case, the Ganav is potter from Kefel? Why should he be potter from Kefel?
Because the Bailim still has this, like a grasp.
Right, and okay, you're a step ahead of me, but what I meant to say is that because on the first round he was moda, meaning when the bailiff with Tovea, he confessed his crime, and that confession should exempt him from hoda, olo, or should we say no? The fact that he was kofir to the shomer, that means that there's no registered hodah here that would exempt him from kefil. Ni amrina, the Gemara analyzes the suffix. Matzi amr le shomer le bailim. The shomer has a right to say to the bailim, atun keva de shaklisu lechu, dmei istalkulu lechu mehacha. You already received payment. I compensated you for the lost object. If that be the case, shaklisu lechu dame, you took the money, is istalku lecha miacha, then you have completely removed yourself from this cow, and you are maknami the kefa, and therefore I am now the baldin of the ganav. I'm running after the ganav. The odah of the ganav to you, Mr. Mafkid, is irrelevant. To me, he was kofer. And I have the vested interest to collect kefa. And that's how we understood it. O Dilma, shall we say no? Matzi Amri Le. Now you said, Zev, that maybe the Mafkid still has some sort of bailus. Let's see how the Gemara formulates it and see if we can reconcile the Gemara's language with your approach. The Gemara is slightly different. The Gemara says that the Mafkid could claim the following to the Shomer. Ki hechi di'at avdat lan milsa. After all, you were doing me a big favor. What were you doing? You were willing to pay lifnei mishur sadin, because again, shomer chinam is parted from gneiva. But nevertheless, you voluntarily offered me payment. Ananami avdin lecha. I'm also going to do something in return for you, which paradoxically turns out to be against the financial interest of the shomer. But at least at stage number one, before the shomer got a hold of the ganav, the bailim were working on behalf of the shomer. And why is that? Because, you know what? Tarchinan basar gnava. I am willing to put in all this effort to locate the ganov. And therefore, shaklinan anon didan ushkol at didoch.
I'll take the kefal and you take the keren.
Correct. Let's split the kefal and the keren. So let me just read to you the language of the Mefarshim here, Tosus and others. They say the following: Kishem sha'anu natalnu es shalonu mimcha. We received from you our cow, meaning the payment in lieu of the cow when you paid us. Kach anu tarchim limtzos aganov. We're also out there to extend ourselves to find the ganav. Kideisha titol ata mimenu es shalcha, which means that you will collect lechora, the kefel from the ganav. So we are operating on your behalf. You did us a favor, quid pro quo. You one favor deserves another, and therefore, if we have a responsibility to try to do something on your behalf in lieu of the fact that you paid us, then we're looking for the ganav. And we are halachically recognized as such. In other words, we're representing you, Mr. Shomer, on your behalf, and therefore we could be tovea this ganav. But the funny thing is that by being tovea the ganav, it turns out the ganav was moda, and as a result, he's potter from kefel. So then, I don't understand what the Gemara means to say that the bailim are operating on behalf of the shomer. They're doing a favor for the shomer. On the contrary, they're messing up the shomer tremendously. The bailim got full payment. They received the compensation. Okay, shkaya. The shomer deserves, we'll give him a special aliyah and a special kibbutz. But why now? Right? Why now do the bailim, the mafkid, have a right to turn around to the shomer and say, well, we're going to do you a favor and catch the ganav? What do you mean catch the ganav? You caught the ganav and he was moda. And paradoxically, as a result of that odah, the shomer no longer has rights to collect the kefel. So I wouldn't say that the mafkid is really quid pro quo, offering something on behalf of the shomer.
Sounded good.
But I don't know, it's very confusing to me. So I have here a gigantic footnote here that goes on and on. I should have photocopied it for you, maybe, so that you'll figure it out. But what I'll do is at least I'll read parts of it, and we won't finish this today, but at least we'll try to get a grasp on what the Gemara... The Gemara itself ends up with a take, although I don't understand the argument of the Mafkid here. I don't know how is he working on behalf of the Shomer here. He seems to be working to the detriment of the Shomer. So he says the following. He says that first we have to reiterate what we know before, but we've already forgotten.
Maybe Saliba de Abaye?
I think this Gemara is going to Rav, but let's hold off for a few minutes there with Abaye. And we've already mentioned in the past the Rambam Shita. The Rambam Shita is, if you recall, that although the Mafkid is Makne Kefel to the Shomer when the Shomer pays up, but nevertheless, that doesn't relate to the Karen itself. The actual cow still belongs to the Bailin. All that the Bailin, the Mafkid, are doing in the case when Shilem v'lorotz l'shalem is only to be Machner the Kefa. So according to the Shita Sarambam, we have a split. It's kind of like Deka l'perosov. What do I mean? I can take a tree that I own, and I can sell you the rights to the fruits of the tree while at the same time I maintain the tree as my own. So I own what's called goof, you own peros. So too in the case of a cow, the cow, so to speak, gives birth to kefel in the case of gneva. So the principle, which is the cow itself, the goof, is owned by the mafkid, according to the Rambam. The kefel, which is the peros, are owned by the Shomer. And that's what it means to be Makne Kefel to the Shomer. And the ability to sell something that doesn't exist yet in the world, because after all, we haven't found the Ganav yet, so the moment that the Shomer paid, when a Mafkid is Makne the Kefel is a Dover Shalom Baliolam, may not a Makne Dover Shalom Baliolam, so that's called Dekel Leperoso, which means I can give you quasi-ownership or some sort of legal abstract ownership over my tree for the peros. So you own only my cow, but not the gufa cow, that doesn't belong to you, it belongs to me, it belongs to the mafkid, but you own the cow vis-a-vis any sort of increment, meaning in this case peros, that come down the line. So I'm not selling you a dover shalom baliol. Now let's just see, again, give me a few minutes, Rabosai, to work this out. How does the Rambam help us in this sugya? So let's take a look at the sugya again. On the one hand, the Shomer is after the Ganav, running after him because he wants to collect Kefa. Does that therefore mean that the Mafkid is out of the picture here and he has no interest in running after the Ganav? Well, according to the Rambam, that's not so. Because according to the Rambam, the Keren, the actual goof ha-behema, is owned by the Mafkid. And therefore, this discussion, this dialogue back and forth between the Shomer and the Mafkid is understandable. The Shomer says, look, I paid you, you got what was coming to you, get out of here, you know, drop the case. But the Mafkid, from his perspective, retorts, but I want to get my Keren back, even though when I get my Keren, I'm going to have to offer you back, you know, a rebate on the Domim that you paid me, but I'd rather get my cow than your Domim. Because again, when you evaluate a cow on the market, or for that matter, almost any item on the market, the buyer always reduces its actual value by a little. Unless it's something that's very rare, you know, and then there's a price fight or something. You know, everyone's fighting for the thing, so you raise the price. But like an auction or things like that. But otherwise, you know, when you sell something, you never get its true value. Here in this country, the greatest example would be an automobile. Well, who can get its value when you sell it? You know, they have a book value and all this, but for you, it's worth a lot more. So in that sense, the Mafkid, according to the Rambam Shita at least, has vested interest in catching up with this Ganav. And therefore, the Odas HaGanav is actually meaningful. Then we'll get to Tosfos.
So could it be that since he doesn't have the cow, he can't be makne to the Shomer?
I mean, he doesn't have possession of it?
That's right.
So the Gemara says that, believe it or not, he was makne at the time that he gave it over to the Shomer.
Oh, okay.
When the Shomer, that's Perek HaMafkid. When the Shomer actually takes the animal into his Rishus, he makes a double kinyan on it. He makes a kinyan on it to the extent that he's chayv achrayus. He has to return it, he has to watch it, etc., etc. And also kinyan for kefel, an event that he pays for the option. Now we get to Shitas HaTosfos. And this is Tosfos back in Perek HaMafkid in Bava Metzia. Tosfos says that the Bailim, in the case where they were paid by the Shomer, Maknim es Guf HaPikadon. As a result of the Tashlumin, that payment of the Shomer to the Mafkid is actually a purchase payment on the Guf HaShomer. Again, it's a conditional purchase, but it's if an event that gets stolen, this money that I'm paying you, says the Shomer to the Mafkid, is payment to purchase the actual Guf HaPara. And in that case, he says the following. The Shomer is Zoche in Kefal, according to Tosis, Memela. Not Memela means not through an actual Hakna, a transferal. There's no need to transfer the Kefal over to the Ganav in the case of Tosis. In the case of the Rambam, there's going to be an actual transferal of Kefal. Again, with all the discussions that we had about Dekel and Perosa. That's not so according to Tosis. There's no akna on the kefal. There's akna on the guf hapikadon. And memela, automatically, the kefal is accrued by the shomer because the shomer owns the guf habeima. The ganav actually steals the shomer's animal. That's the halakhic paradox here. So he says the following. L'das ha-rambam mivu eres ha-gemara. I can understand the gemara according to the Rambam. The Bailim say to the Shomer, Shaklina Anna Didan. In other words, that we want to take that which is ours. What does that mean, we take that which is ours? Kevan Shabinimtsa Ganov, says the Mafkid, Ani Notel Eshali, I take back the Guf HaPikadon, and you'll get the Kefel. Therefore, I have rights to seek out and find the Ganov and be Tovea him. And therefore, his Hodah is meaningful. But Lashita Satosvis is Adarab. Now it comes back to our question. How do we understand the sugi according to Tosvis? What is the Mafkid? What vested interests does the Mafkid have over here to seek out the Ganov? He's already no longer the Bailam on this Pikodon. So comes along the Chidushe Anshe Shem, which is a super commentary on the Rif in Masechet Bava Metzia. And he says the following, Adarabba, the contrary, Misugyasenu Yesh Lochiach Kedivre Atosvus, Shashomer Zocha Legamre Bapikodon, Sharei Lashitas Aram Shapikodon Nishar Birshus Habailim, Lo Muva Madua Gemara Estavko. What was the suffix of the Gemara? Obviously, the Bailim want to get back their Karen, and that's obvious that they are the Baldin of the Ganav. But according to the Rambam, according to Tosfos, Adarav, the Mafkid is not the Baldin of the Ganav. He has no vested interest here whatsoever. He was already Makne, not just the Kefel to the Shomer, but also the Guf HaPikadon. What claim could he have to the Ganav, who made him into a Baldin? He was actually Nistalka Mehocha. And yet the Gemara says that despite the argument of Istalkula Mehocha, which makes sense according to Tosfos, nevertheless, Dilma, there's a possibility that the Baal HaPikadon, who I would say is the ex-Baal HaPikadon, still has a claim to the Shomer to say that I have to go out looking for the Ganav. Why am I looking for the Ganav? Well, I'm doing it on your behalf. Because once you paid me for the Pikadon, now you own the Kefel, and now let's go together, so to speak, make a joint effort. I'm going to sweat and toil and use all the investigators I can until I can catch the Ganav and give you back that which is yours. Because you did me a great favor by voluntarily paying me the basic compensation. I'm going to do you a favor and join forces with you in trying to get this Ganav into Bezdin and make sure that he pays you up. Oh. So now we have to ask our question. He says, if we're talking about a Shomer who wants to collect Kefel, It's very paradoxical for the Baal HaPikon to say, I'm working, I'm operating on your behalf by getting the Ganav, when the Ganav said, yeah, you know, he was Moda, and therefore there's no Chiyuv Kefel. But keep in mind, at least the Shomer gets what? He gets Keren. Why does he get Keren? Because again, L'shitas HaTosfos, the Haknah, as a response to Tashlumen on the part of the Shomer, that Haknah is on the Guf HaPara, not the way the Rambam learns that it's on the Kefel. Is Memela, there was a barter exchange, so to speak, between the Shomer and the Mafkin, in which the Shomer paid the Mafkin. The Mafkin gave, with that payment, gave or transferred ownership over the Guf HaPikaron to the Shomer. So now the Ganav has to be tracked down, not just because of the Kefel, but also because of the Pikaron. The Shomer will be out all that whole sum of money that he paid, unless we can find the Ganav. So in that sense, the Mafkin has a right to say, I am operating on your behalf. Now, I'm curious to know what would be if the Shomer said to the Mafkid from the get-go, thanks, but no thanks, meaning, very nice that you want to, tit for tat, you want to show your appreciation for the fact that I compensated you, but I'm not asking you to look for the gun, because I realize that if you find the gun, there's a chance that he'll be molded to you and I'll forfeit the kefil. So even though, you see, the Gemara is operating with the following premise. You remember, and we discussed this at great length last week, that the Mafkid's mindset is as follows. I'm willing to be machni him the kefel because I want to get the keren. We spoke about low risk investment, if you remember. It's a low risk investment on the part of the Mafkid to give up forfeit on kefel. He doesn't know whether we'll get the ganav, and even if we get the ganav, maybe we'll be moda. For the sake of clinching of guaranteeing himself the keren. And perhaps what the Mafkid is saying to the Shomer is that if my efforts will produce the ganav, even if we'll make a hodah, but nevertheless, you'll get back your keren. Now, of course, you might ask, well, is this Zach and the other Shomer in front of? You know, we make all these calculations as if we enter into the mindset of the Shomer. Maybe the Shomer wants a high-risk investment. He would rather tell the Mafkid, thanks but no thanks, you stay home, watch television, while I go track down the Ganav, because if I do so, and he's kofar, then I'll collect kefel. Again, that seems to be what the Gemara is vacillating about, and I'm not even sure if we should tap the Shomer on the back and ask him, well, what are you thinking? You know, are you in favor of this posse, you know, going out to hunt down the Ganav on behalf of the Mafkid, or you not? I don't even know if we have to ask him. I think the halacha has to operate with objective standards. And if the Mafkid could somehow justify that he's operating here in terms of a team effort. Again, if a third person from the street decides that he wants to join the volunteer staff to look for the Ganav, you know, he's in the vigilante group that wants to be Oiker Averis Gneva from our city, you know, because a city that's, you know, that has Ganav floating around is not exactly a pleasant place to live. There are cities in the world where they tell you, you know, as a tourist, you know, sew up your pockets, because, you know, the pickpockets are all over the place. That's probably true anywhere in the world, but there's certain place that the Yuchad and the Zuman live Parani is. But that doesn't make you into a Baal Dov. You know, you might be working on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you're a good Samaritan, you know, you want to work on the city team, a volunteer, find the Ganav team, but that doesn't make you into a Baal Dov. And the Ganav doesn't have to look you in the face and say yay or nay, it's irrelevant. But there are people who are shayach to this din. A Baal Din means he's part of this din. Oh, now the thought occurred to me. Okay, now I have it. Okay. Would the Mafkid be able to serve, would he be a valid kosher aide, together obviously with another witness, to testify against the guy?
Yes.
Oh, so often I would say yes. Why? He was marked in the Pikada. He's not a Baal Dava. Now, we have a Sulan Avis called a Baal Dava. He's not a Baal Dava, right? What vested interest does he have here? He's already been paid for his Pikada. he was makna not only the kefel to the shomer, but also the pikadon. So, you know, in his past history, if we go back in the history, he was a baldover, but now he's no longer a baldover. So that's exactly, I think, what lies at the heart of the suffix here, this Gemara. Maybe he's still a baldover. Why? Because he was the mafkin. And as such, he wants to make the shomer happy.
That's not sufficient to make him a baldover.
Well, again, you know, you're right and you're not right. You're right in one side of the Gemara, but I'm claiming that you're not right in the other side. He is a baldover. You know why he's a baldover? Because, I'll give you an example. Oh, here's a perfect example. If I borrow 1,000 from you, b'liachrayus, which means that if you come to collect 1,000, you're the malf and I'm the loaf, and I don't have any money, that's it. I'm off the hook. So that if, let's say, there's a piece of karka, and you want to collect that karka in lieu of your loan, so the question is, can I testify about that karka? And I believe that the final maskana of the Gemara, somewhere in Baba Basra, I think, is that I can't. Why? Because lo ve rosh v'lo yishalem. Meaning, I want to be able to look you in the eyes and say, although I didn't repay the loan, somehow you got repaid. The loan was repaid. Here too, in a certain sense, I wouldn't call it a loan, but what the mafkin is saying to the shomer is that you're paying me when you don't have to pay me. Let's make a joint effort to find the ganav, because if we don't find the ganav, you have taken a loss of 1,000, which you didn't deserve to lose. You paid for my cow, which you didn't have to. I pocketed your cow, I'm a great guy. I pocketed your 1,000, and I'm wonderful, but you didn't have to pay me for that. The cow was stolen through no fault of your own. But the answer is, I'm going to do whatever I can to extend myself to make sure that you're going to be a happy camper, and that 1,000 will be returned to you. Now, in a funny sort of way, the way history evolved was that as a result of the hodah to the mafkid, the ganav, instead of paying 2,000, is only going to pay 1,000. But that 1,000 will cover the loss of the shomer, and the mafkid is very happy about that. You did me a favor. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to make sure that you will be reimbursed that 1,000. I can't guarantee you the second 1,000. That all depends upon what mood the ganav is in. You know, if he's in a perverse, if he's in a what word am I looking for? A humble mood, you know, and he wants to confess his crime, or at that point he was nervous that I have Adam in my back pocket, so he confessed the crime. So I'm sorry, you won't be able to collect the kefir, but at least you got reimbursed for the money that you shelled out. So I think that would come under the halacha of Love, Rosh Avol Yishalem, and he would be Eino Ger Ve'edus. Oh, Dilma, no. In the case of a Love, he borrowed the money. He's got, you know, he's enjoyed the benefit of the money. Here, the mafkid has no interest whatsoever. So that's what I think is going on. But it's funny how what we thought was the simple pshat in this Gemara would support the Rambam comes along with Chidushi Anshei Shem, and he says, Adarama, the simple pshat in this Gemara would support Tosis. Because, again, according to the Rambam, also the Pshita, that the Mafkid has vested interest, he's looking for his cow. Why would the Gemara even entertain the possibility that his status is not that of a baldin? He's certainly a baldin, because he was never machna the cow to the shomer. If the Gemara is looking, you know, scratching under the surface, digging, maybe there's a reason to say that the mafkin is still a baldover, then it must be the Tosis is correct and not the Rambam. He's still a baldover despite the fact that he forfeited his rights and his ownership over the cow. Because he'd be a very happy guy if he can get the shomer his money back. And how happy would he be if he can get the shomer his money back plus another 100% if there was no hope. Take it, when the Gemara comes to no conclusion. Itmar, we learned in a braisa, machlokes tanoim, machlokes amoroim, nignava bionis. Okay, now here we're talking about a shomer socher, correct? Because the shomer socher is chayim for gneva. So we have to add the stipulation that it was ba'onis, because otherwise the shomer is completely exempt. I'm sorry.
Just,
just the opposite. What did I say? What I meant to say was that if it wasn't ba'ones, then clearly the shomer is responsible, and unless he can track down the ganov, he's obligated to pay. He's responsible. What word am I looking for? You know, in tort law, he is the cause of the damage because he was meant to provide a higher level of shmirah, put up a very strong fence that would prevent any ganav from getting in there. Or alternatively, in the case of money, the Gemara says he's got to dig down 10 tefachim under the surface of the ground. That's what he has to do. But the answer is that here was a case of ones. But who got a ganav? Okay, we have, you know, the rumors are that, you know, that so-and-so is the thief, and the question is who has to go running around retrieving the object from the ganav? Because on the one end you could say that the shomer in this case is completely exempt because it was onus, and even a shomer sacher is part of onus. So that intuitively our answer to this question would be that it's the mafkid who has to run around and get and retrieve his object from the shomer. Omar Abai says, "Im shomer chinam hu." If he's a shomer chinam, he doesn't have to run after the ganov and retrieve the object because he's part of gneva. Rata osebo ose imo din. In other words, if the shomer decides that he doesn't want to take a shvuah, then he can pay the bialim. So again, keep in mind that the easiest way of learning this sugya, again, if we had a blackboard, would be that the phrase osa imo din is the same as eno nishva ela mishal. Okay? So every time it's going to come up over and over again in the sugya, osa imo din. And you could always plug in that osa imo din means that instead of taking the shvua, which he would be potter if he took the shvua, he decides, I would prefer to pay the bialim and instead of taking the shvua, and therefore, of course, if once he pays the bialim, he, the shomer, is going to have to, you know, he's going to have to track down the ganav because he's already paid.
But we say hukara ganav,
right? Hukara ganav means that, you know, the rumors going around that this so and so is holding on to the gneva, but you know, we haven't yet roped him in, so to speak. So now we have to get him into Bezdin and be tovea him and bring aid him and so forth and so on. That entire process, says Abaye, will have to be initiated by the shomer, since he's a shomer chinam and he refused to take the shvua. Instead of taking the shvua, he paid up, which is called osa imo din. But now he has another option. Ratza nishba. No one can deny the shomer of his rights to take the shvua. He doesn't have to pay up. He's a shomer chinam. In that case, he's off the hook. He took the shvua. The shomer is completely exonerated. Now the mafkid is the one who has vested interest. He's got to run after the ganav. Oh, that's all shomer chinam. Im shomer sachar hu. Again, even though the case was what? Ones. But nevertheless, if the ganav is located and we get the object from the ganav, then the whatchamacallit, let's assume the shomer can get the animal back from the ganav without any loss, is osa imo din. Again, the same phrase osa imo din, which means that the shomer will take a shvuah. I'm sorry, the shomer, I meant to say, would pay, and as a result of paying, he now makes a kinyan on the object, and therefore he has to go ahead and be tofer. Okay, so that's called osa imo din. The shomer is chayev to pay the bialim. The eino nishba, he doesn't have the rights to take a shvuah. He doesn't have that option. So whereas, here's the contrast, says Abaye. Whereas in the case of a shomer chinam, he has the option of taking the shvuah and then running after the ganav. Correct. That's called osa imo din. No, I'm sorry. So that's called ratza nishba. Correct. And ratza nishba means that he's off the hook. So again, in the case of a Shomer Chinam, says Abaye, there's an option of closing the case and alleviating the Shomer of all his responsibility vis-a-vis this behemoth, and therefore he doesn't run after the Gada because he took the Shvuah. However, in the case of Shomer Socher, there is no such option. He doesn't have the option of taking a Shvuah. Why? Because he's chayav for Gneva. And therefore, and again, not only is he chayav for Gneva, but we found the Ganav.
But this is onus.
I know it's onus, but it's a funny kind of case. It's an onus, but we found the Ganav. If we, again, hukar Ganav. But once it's hukar Ganav, the onus becomes totally irrelevant. That's a bayashita. We'll see Rav in just a second. Why is the onus irrelevant? Because look, you have the ability of getting back the animal. So again, you may have provided the wonderful shmirah, but the ganav somehow broke through all the codes, you know, Houdini, he unlocked every single lock and he got in and he stole the animal. Well, here he is. You, as a shomer sachar, have responsibility in gneva. In other words, with regard to the shomer chinam, he could say, look, I did my basic shmirah. The Torah never imposed upon the shomer chinam an obligation of gneva. Now it's stolen. He can turn to the mafkin and say, that's your headache. My headache is I have to take a shvuah. I took that shvuah. Now all the burden is on you. Not so in the case of the shomer sachar. The shomer sachar, insofar as he's paid for his shmirah, he has to return the object. It was onus. The answer is it doesn't matter. Even though it was onus, onus means irretrievable onus. But a retrievable onus, like the case of Hukar Aganov, does not alleviate the shomer sachar of his obligation vis-a-vis Gneva, and therefore he, the shomer, has to run around and track down the behemoth from the Rav Omar, echad zeh, the echad zeh, ose imo din, the eno nishva. Even the case of a shomer chinam requires that the shomer run around and retrieve the object. Why? Because since the shomer has the possibility of tracking down the ganav, the obligation of shmirah includes anything that's up to hashava. So again, let's understand. Whereas according to Abaye, gneva is a poter. According to Rava, hashava is a poter. So let's explain. Abaye holds that Gneva is a poter in the case of a Shomer Chinam, and all we need from him is the Shvuah. Once he takes the Shvuah, since the object was stolen, he's off the hook. Because the Halacha says that Gneva is a poter. What does it mean, Gneva is a poter? Abaye has this radical sheet. Abaye says that I don't have to return your object to you, the Shomer says to the Mafkid, unless I have your object. As long as I have your object, or I'm responsible to have your object, I have to return it to you. My chiyuv hashava, says Abaye, in the words of the Shomer, is completely terminated once the object was taken out of my rishus, it was stolen. If it's out of my rishus, the Torah says I'm potter. Again, I have to take the shvuah, that's a condition. But I'm potter in the sense that I no longer am chayav hashava. So gneva, according to Abaye, alleviates the shomer of his chiyuv hashava. Comes along Rava, and Rava says, name. I don't care where the animal is on the face of the earth. If you, Mr. Shomer, have the ability to track down that animal, you didn't return the animal. That's all included within the Chiyuv HaShava. I was a middle stage in which circumstances beyond your responsibility, beyond the parameters of your responsibility, took the animal out of your rishus. That doesn't matter. You're going to say, well, look, the animal is down the block. And the shomer is going to say to the mafkid, you know, and the mafkid might be out in China on a business deal, right? The shomer is going to say to the mafkid, I'm not running down the block because the ganav took it out of my rishus, and I'm not chayv gneva. Says Rava, no deal, no go. You are chayv in hashava, and if it means to, you know, put your coat on and run down the street, that's what you have to do. And if it's hukar ganav, you've got to track down the ganav in order to fulfill your chayv hashava. So the Gemara thinks that in a machlokas between Abaye and Rav, we always side with Rava, and it would be very problematic if we found someone who sides with Abaye. And that's what the Gemara is bothered by now. Lema, shall we say, Liga ad Rav Huna bar Ovin. Meaning, I have a statement of Rav Huna bar Ovin, which would seem to indicate that he is on the other side of the fence here. He doesn't agree with Rava. And that's a problem. The Shalach Rav Huna bar Ovin, he sent this halacha. You know, in those days they used to write an igeres, what's called, and send it over from sometimes Babel Teretz Yisrael or vice versa, whatever it is. And what was the verdict that was formulated here by Rav Huna bar Ovin? Nigneva bi ones v'hukar aganov im shamar chinam hu ratza ose imo din, which means he takes the just 1 second. He pays the violin and he's off the hook. But Ratza Nishpa, he also has an option to take the Shvua and take himself off the hook. Only in the case of him Shomer Sacharu Osimo Din Vieno Nishpa, he's gotta get the animal back, and he doesn't have the option of a Shvua. This is word for word, the sheet of who? Rabosai Abaye. Amalecha Rava. Okay. Here's where I lost it last night at about midnight. So this is up until this point I got it. Then at this point my brain sort of turned into, you know, mashed potatoes. Hachama mayaskinon kigon. In other words, what's the case of Rav Huna bar Ovin to reconcile his statement with Rava? Kigon shekadam vinishba. But Vaha Ratza Osa Imodin, that which Rav Huna said he Ratza Nishba, Ratza Osa Imodin, Ratza Nishba Ka'omar. And the Gemara says, Haki Ka'omar. Ratza Shomer Chinam, Omeid Bishvuaso, Ratza Osa Imodin. So Rabosai, give me about 2 minutes here of if you don't mind, of silence. If you don't mind, I'm going to try it once more. Again, now I'm a little bit more awake than I was last night at midnight. So let's see. When does Rav Huna say that the din of a Shomer Chinam is different than that of a Shomer Sachar? That's only if the Shomer took the Shvur before they found the Ganov. However, if they found the Gana before he took the Shvur, then even Rav Huna agrees that the Shomer Chinam, like the Shomer Socha, has to return the object and run after the Gana. But that's impossible. I mean, Rav Huna bar Ovin makes this distinction between a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Socha, and he says, Ratza Ose Imo Din Ratza Nishba. He has the option, the Shomer Chinam, of taking the Shvur. But you're telling me, Rava, that we're talking about a case of Karam V'Nishba. If it was Karam V'Nishba, how could he say, Rav Huna, that he has an option of taking the Shvur? So here Rava says Gevaldig Chiddush in explaining Rav Huna. That what Rav Huna had in mind was Ratza Shomer Chinam Omeid B'Shvuaso. In other words, even though the Shomer Chinam had the option of taking the Shvua, and that existed before they found the Ganav, but what happens after they find the Ganav? After they find the Ganav, then even the Shomer Chinam has to run after the Ganav, because Rav Huna adopts the sheet of Rava. But the case is before they found the Ganav and he took the Shvua. Rav Huna's language is Ratza Nishba. So we have to say that Ratza Nishba means Ratza Shogit Omeid Bishvuaso. In other words, he has a right to say that, look, I took the Shvuah, I'm off the hook, and I'm potter, I don't have to run after the Ganav. But Ratza Osa Imo Din, he can be Torech himself, he could try to find the Ganav, So what's the chiddush here? If he took the shvuah already, fine. He's off the hook. But now they found the ganov, and he hasn't taken the shvuah yet. So then, Enochinam, even though he's a shomer chinam, he's chayv and hashov, he has to run after the ganov. So what's the chiddush of Rav Huna when he says that in shomer chinam who is rotza? Just 1 second. Im shomachinam rotza ose imo din. No, rotza. If he says eino nishpa means he already took the shvuah. That's what eino nishpa means. What's the other option of ose imo din, meaning that he has to be toreach to find the ganav? Just 1 second, are we saying that he can rescind the shvuah? Is that what we're saying? Just let me figure this out. Does the Shomer Chinam have a right to say, forget about the shvuah? You know what I'm thinking, Rabosai? Again, this didn't occur to me last night, and even now, as I say it, I have trepidation, but maybe according to this Gemara, the Shomer Chinam could have second thoughts about a shvuah. Maybe he's worried about the following scenario. The Eidim testify against the Ganov, and in the context of the Ver Eidus, they draw a picture of exactly what took place and how the Ganov was able to successfully implement his theft. And that would implicate the Shomer, because maybe the Shomer did not do the proper Shmira, even though he's only a Shomer Chinam. He let the animal roam around. Anyone could come along and take it. So the Shomer now becomes very nervous about his Shvuah. So what he says is, you know what? Forget about my Shvuah. I want to rescind my Shvuah. I don't want to suffer any consequences from that Shvuah. Because if they find out that I was Poshea, then if the animal gets hit by lightning, I'll have to pay for that. So the answer is, the Shomer says, I rescind my Shvuah. He can nullify and withdraw his Shvuah. If he does so, at that point, he now has almost retroactively removed his shvuah. He's back in a situation where he refuses to take the shvuah. And if he refuses to take the shvuah, even Abaye would agree that he's got to run around and get the gana, because otherwise he has to pay. Let me just see if I can fit that into the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rotza ose imo din. I mean, the other alternative is just to say that he's a good Samaritan and he could decide on his own good heart, you know, to work on behalf of the mafkid and try to track down the shomer, even though Mikra and Dini's potter because he already took the shvuah. Do you have anything in, you have an English translation, or does Rabbi Steinsaltz have a translation? What do these words mean? Rotza osa imo din, that he's going to run after the gun, but he already took the shvuah. Well, 1 second.
If he wants, he can settle it with the owner.
He can sell it?
Settle it with the owner. Settle it with the owner and sue the thief himself.
Even though he has to,
I mean, why would he do such a thing? I don't get it. He's already off the hook. He took the shvuah. Even Rabbi said once he takes the shvuah, he's off the hook.
But that's the option.
So why would he settle
option
with the option?
Before hukar,
but what vested interest? What does he gain?
Before hukar aganav, the shomer chinam can either take the shvuah and then he's completely done.
Correct. So that's the case.
That's option one.
He took
option two is he can say, no, I'm going to try and I'm going to try and find the ganav.
And but again, we're talking about a case where
before Hukar HaGanav, he took the Shavua. And the Bible, and Rava says, after Hukar HaGanav, he takes the Shavua, then he still needs to run after him.
Right, but the case of Rav Ovin is that he took the Shavua before Hukar HaGanav, and Rav Ovin still says, Ratza Nishpa. So what is Ratza Nishpa is? Before it's the flip side of Omei Bishvua. So it means he doesn't want to be Omei Bishvua. Apparently he decided that he wants to rescind the Shvua. Okay, we'll think about it. That's